The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you want to just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Top of the podcast to you.
A top of the morning to ya.
Oh, Christ.
Okay, but that's the last time.
You said it.
Oh,
you
were doing... lady, lady, lady.
I didn't know. So
a touch of the Blarney Stone.
Okay. That's all that you know, Irish-wise.
Me lucky charms.
Okay, that's...
lady, lady, lady.
Okay, well, you said you might try that, but I didn't think you would sort of...
I'm doing the rest of the podcast in this.
Oh, no, you're is not. That I won't be.
Is it offensive, what he's doing?
I don't know, because, like, we have some of that heritage. So, like, yep. I don't know if it's, like... It's like how people... If you're in a wheelchair and you
it's
pass someone else...
It's not offensive, me boy.
It's all like right. If you're in a wheelchair and you pass someone else in a wheelchair, you're allowed to push them over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is sort of in that similar vein.
So, are you saying you'd like me to stop?
No, I'm saying you sound like a handicapped person.
So, what... This weekend, this St. Paddy's weekend... What are you guys getting rump-a-dumped on?
Meth?
Oh.
That's not really like a traditional Irish.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop it in a Guinness.
Oh, I see. What do you call that concoction?
Irish car death.
That's not a good name.
No?
That's not a good name.
How about the sore tooth? Doesn't that drink sound like it would be called the sore tooth in circles?
A sore tooth?
Uh-huh.
Now, what would be the derivation of this name?
When you do meth, it makes your teeth hurt. And okay. So when you drop it in a Guinness, it's a sore tooth, because that's sort of a fun, edgy meth
sort of
name.
Fun take on meth.
It's basically right? The most fun way to take meth, the most, like, footloose and fancy-free form of meth consumption.
On a completely different note, not in any way advocating the use of meth, did you guys see, I think it was American Eagle or Urban Outfitter, like is being like sued by Irish defamation leagues or something?
No. What?
They had a t-shirt. Well, they had a t-shirt that said like, kiss me, I'm Irish or drunk or whatever. And
kiss me, I'm Irish or drunk or whatever?
Yeah, and they were told that was offensive to
maybe
Irish heritage.
Bit.
And so, like, they had to take it off their websites and stuff.
Well, and also, it's offensive to drunk people.
And also, it's stupid.
I've never been so drunk that I forgot my fucking nationality.
It should say, help me, I'm drunk or Irish or whatever, I just don't know and I'm really scared.
I've been looking for my apartment for like two hours now. It's very cold outside.
That's how homeless people get their start, usually. This is an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Let's not waste any more time with these blind alleys of racial danger. Okay. Let's get right into the advice. I work at a grocery store where we were required to stay clean shaven at all times. Over vacation, I grew a beard that everyone thought really worked for me, including myself, only to have to shave it off. I'm not a big fan of this job, and I was considering getting other work. I'm a student, can be unemployed for a while. But is this a valid reason to quit? Should I risk unemployment to get a job I can have a beard at?
Yes.
This is...
Wait,
Travis.
What? No, Travis.
No?
No.
I'm just saying that if he was already, like, thinking about leaving this job, if he's not happy with this job, I feel like it would be a real power move to walk into the boss's office and say, like, listen, Bill, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm quitting because I want to have a beard.
Listen, there is one thing in this world. I don't know much about women, but I do know that the two things that they love are newly grown beards and unemployment. These are two things. These are two traits. When you get the scraggle, you know what I'm talking about? The scraggle where you're just growing it. Ladies love that, especially
it's nice and scratchy and abrasive on their face.
When it's attached to a man who doesn't have a steady form of income coming in, mm-hmm. ladies can't get enough.
A look that says, "I have this beard because I can't afford to shave it." Mm-hmm. In all seriousness, in the modern age, in this day and age, there's no reason to quit a job without having another job lined up.
Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, there's so many jobs. Silly. There's so many jobs out there. I think you can just pretty safely quit and then just know that you're going to get caught by some sort of safety net.
Yes, because in this economy, jobs are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like littering the streets. Like,
and people are like, "Hey, Obama, how about we destroy some of these jobs?"
Mm-hmm.
To reduce job inflation, right? Yeah.
All these spare jobs are sitting around make me feel guilty.
I have to get two or three jobs just to make myself feel good in the morning.
Mm-hmm. What jobs do you have currently, Trev?
Well, as you know, I work for the theater. Right. I also am a carriage driver in the park.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And I kill bats.
Wait a minute. I never knew killing bats was professional for you.
Well, you have to turn in the pelts.
For EXP.
Mm-hmm. Monster.
And then you can turn them into like cloaks and belts and stuff if your skill is high enough.
I am moonlighting as Stanley Tucci's wax man. Not a lot of people know that I possess that skill, nor that I have that connection with the Tucci, as I call him.
Justin?
I put dolphins back in their place.
Oh, man. Do you mean like dolphins who like get trapped in sewers because they jumped weird?
Or you mean uppity like, dolphins?
Yeah.
No, I mean dolphins that start to think that they're people. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
You know, that hat off.
Take that hat off and give me back my fish. That was in my sandwich, and it was unacceptable. Your hijinks have no sway here. I get back in the ocean, sir. And then that's pretty much it. And then I get all sheepish.
And that's a job?
That's a job.
Who pays you to do this?
Sharks.
Sharks. Sharks. Sharks pay me in apples.
The maritime economy is so strange.
They don't know what we use. They don't know
all these ocean apples.
Right. You humans like apples, right?
Hey, you like apples? Like, dolphins don't like fish. It's just what we throw at them because they're dumb. Like, sharks pay me in apples. They think that's the kind of currency. I don't know why. Fucking sharks, man. Now, don't, like... Get another job. This should be a good role for everybody. Get another job before you quit the last job, so before beard. Or go in and be like, grow your beard out secretly. Wear a burqa or something. Grow your beard out secretly and go in and be like, this is what you are missing.
Also, you need...
Look at this look.
You need to take a long look in that deep, dark, truthful mirror and really think about if this beard that you grew over a vacation... is really as critically acclaimed as you say it is.
Really think about the inflection.
Unless it was a 6-month vacation.
Yeah. Did they say,
a beard.
That looks great.
Keep it up. I kept a scrowdy row scraggle daggle on my face for a couple of years. Before I realized that, hey, this doesn't actually look very good. And I had tricked myself into thinking it was all the rage.
I know. So, I still feel guilty about that. Griffin walked around looking like a Bob Denver impersonator, and I said nothing to him. You know, from Gilligan's Island.
Also, Dobie Gillis.
Dobie Gillis.
Take care of your face.
It's the only gift you have.
That's all you've got going for you.
All you've got going for is your face. Don't cover it up.
Don't fuck up your moneymaker.
That's where.
No, your moneymaker is your fucking job. Don't fuck that up either.
your moneymaker is your bagging hands. You got to keep those safe. Don't worry about your face.
And shame. I just also want to throw out, what kind of fucking grocery store doesn't let people have beer? Like, I don't understand.
If you find out, let me know and I will attend. It will be my sole source of grocery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to buy my Aunt Jemima from someone that's not clean shorn.
In this bag, I'm going to put your eggs, and I'm going to put your juice, and I'm going to put a few of these little chin hairs. Just going to sprinkle them in there like so much oregano.
Maybe he works in the deli or something.
Oh, we'll get that.
That might make sense, right?
Don't they make beard nets for just such an occasion?
Yeah, but you can't be, like, walking around with a beard net. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically seen with a beard net.
This is a jock strap, basically.
A jock strap for your chin.
Yeah.
It's also, like, saying to the world, like, I got this beard, but I cannot keep a handle on it.
Mm-hmm. It's like his beard is out of control.
It's like boarding school for beards. Like, you can't, it's saying, like, I don't know what to do with it. It's got its own mind. Mind of its own, I'd say. Griffin.
You want a Yahoo answer?
Yeah.
This is great. This one was sent in by Lisa Holifield. Thank you, Lisa. It's by Yahoo Answers user Holly, who posted in the Yahoo Answers rodents category.
Uh-huh.
And asks, how to take care of a duck? I'm thinking of getting a pet duck, but I don't know much about them.
Clearly.
Some phylum genus action would be good.
Just to maybe just out. Like a dictionary. Just look up the word duck.
Have you seen the duck yet?
respondent Yahoo Answers user CP4 says, well, the first thing you should know is that it is not a rodent.
Oh, Yahoo Answers, taking care of our light work since 2003.
Yahoo Answers user Matt says, here's a list I have constructed for your consideration. 1. Let the duck go. 2. Watch the duck fly away. 3. Go buy a rodent. 4. Go about with your normal life. source, I am a duckologist.
Well, the first thing you're going to want to do, so many people neglect, webbing cream. They get a lot of irritation there.
Mm-hmm. Is this a cream that you make out of duck foot webbing? Or is
no,
this...
that would be cruel. No, this okay. is a balm. It's a poultice that you rub onto the webbing of a duck. So from its day of, like, stepping on pine cones and other irritants, it will soothe the webbing and make sure that it stays, you know, uninfected.
Now, step 2, and this is a tricky one, and it's going to take some time, but you have to train the duck to say, put it on my bill. It's the only good reason to have a duck.
Oh, man, what a duck. What a great duck. Griffin, do you have any duck raising tips?
I get it. make it a shirt. Make it clothes. I guess duck clothes.
You don't
dress it up like Scrooge McDuck, obviously.
That's good.
Yeah, I wish
give
I
it some
that.
A little spats on its webbed feet.
I can't imagine having a bird. I was at a hamburger stand the other day eating a hamburger.
Was this a food truck?
No. It was an establishment. They just didn't have an indoor dining area. They had some shit out back where you could just chill on some picnic tables and enjoy your frozen custard. And I was there, and I was just surrounded by pigeons and finches and sparrows and all manner of tiny woodland birds. And I just had a constant panic attack the entire time I was there. Couldn't enjoy my meal because I was surrounded by tiny birds. And I have friends here in Texas who have, like, chickens. They have pet chickens. Can't...
Unacceptable.
Can't fathom.
Okay, because here's the thing. I agree with you, Griffin, 100%. And I know of people that have, like, cockatiels and parrots and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, they're beautiful birds and they fly around. But a duck or, like, a chicken, they're just, like, a big, stupid, walking around on the ground bird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Think about a bird for a second. Like, if you have a pet bird, like, if you have a dog, it can come and snuggle up on you. A cat can pat its little feet on you and ignore you most of the time. A bird has two methods of interaction with the outside world. Talons and a poker. Mm-hmm. That's it. All I can
talons
do is...
and a poker and yelling. Just and constant yelling. Yelling.
Shitting
and
everywhere. Shitting on you.
Like, those are the interactions a bird can have with the outside world. Why would you want that in your home?
Why would you want anything... I'm going to offend so many people right now.
Ugh, sorry,
a dog and Bobby. A cat. Why would you want anything other than a dog and a cat? You can teach a dog to go outside. You can teach a cat to poop in a box.
Okay, but what about hilariously, comically large rabbits?
Okay, that's fine. Wow. And and you call them like Floppenstein or something?
I'm how okay about sugar gliders?
Damn it.
Oh, that's okay. What I... Because that's been the problem with mice this whole time. Their inability to fly. Thank God for sugar... Thank you, county fairs all over this great land for putting a race of flying mice throughout the...
And also, just FYI, sugar glider pelts aren't worth as much as bat pelts. Yeah. Only make that mistake once.
Travis has a chart. If you do, ladies and gentlemen, this is a plea from me to you. If you do buy a duck and take it home to raise your own, don't let him drop out of school. There's going to be a real temptation because he won't understand any of it and he can't write. But a duck without an education, there's nothing sadder, in my opinion.
And if you... If the duck that you have adopted becomes, let's say, racially insensitive towards Japanese people, then you really need to take a good hard look at it, because there's a good chance that you just adopted Gilbert Gottfried.
God,
he is similar to ducks, not only in fashion but in manner. Mm-hmm. Which is why he was such a perfect choice for the Aflac. This bit is fucking stupid.
bad news for you, I'm editing today. So I'm going to frame it. I'm going to frame it with special sound effects and guitar riffs. Okay. Here it is, Griffin's bit about Gilbert Gottfried.
There's a goof in there somewhere about how Gilbert Gottfried is duck-like. But I think the Aflac connection sort of sullies...
Your problem was looking for the goof. You should just say... Earlier I said something about sharks paying me with apples. Just say the first goddamn thing that comes to your head.
Yeah, that's
good. Let the goof find you.
Then 90% of the audience would hear it and be like, oh, he's making a dumb Aflac goof. But the other 10% would understand how avant-garde that was.
How edgy your Gilbert Gottfried goof was.
Mm-hmm. If you guys could adopt one celebrity, who would it be? Obviously, not Gilbert Gottfried. He's going to keep you rolling, right, with all the zingers. But I don't think that the rest of it would make up for it.
Ian McShane.
Okay. What would pet Ian McShane be like, Travis?
Mostly he'd just shuffle around the house in a bathrobe cursing.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? And just have friends over him like, oh, don't mind my Ian McShane. don't let him climb on your lap.
Ian, down. Down.
Down. Ian.
Enjoy.
I'm going to go with Giamatti.
Oh, he would.
Do you know why?
I imagine him like hiding up in the corner of the ceiling. Yeah, just brought him with a flashlight to get him down.
Don't look at him; it's a challenge.
Giamatti, Giamatti.
Do you know what the problem with having a pet Giamatti is?
He's a Pokemon. Giamatti, Giamatti, go!
You're so skittish. Go!
Oh God. Giamatti is the human equivalent of a comically large rabbit, I feel like.
Oh, crap.
Justin?
What?
You got a celeb?
I'm not going to adopt a celebrity. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. they're people. They live in houses.
They are human beings.
I don't understand the question. Hey, I'm a guy and also a monster. Oh, whoa. and also a monster. I started sleeping with a close friend of mine, a girl, who also plays bass in my band. We were, quote, friends with benefits, end quote, for about 6 months, but it never really developed into an exclusive relationship. She feels heartbroken because I recently slept with another girl, and this may have ruined a wonderful friendship as well as our band. Is there any way to salvage our friendship? Probably unforgivable. So I guess the band maybe is not finding the success that he had hoped for.
That's maybe not top priority at this point.
Right.
Hey, dude, you done goofed.
Yeah, oh, man, the number of ways in which you've goofed.
You goofed, but if you can keep the band together, wow, you're going to write some good stuff. Look at Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah. That's,
like, they fought and fit and fought and fought and fit, and they didn't stay in love, but they stayed in love with the music. And the pain, you can just feel it in Tusk.
Nothing powers good rock and roll like sexual contempt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hall & Oates.
So bitter.
So bitter. So brokenhearted. I
can't believe you did this to me, Oates.
Dave Matthews Band. There's so many members. You know some people.
Let's just say Oates has that mustache to cover a really, really embarrassing scar. And let's leave it at that.
I think this is the problem with the Friends with Benefits deal.
Yeah, because it's a fantasy.
Yeah, it really is. It's a game. It doesn't work because you're sitting there and you're like, oh, this is so nice. And there's no strings attached and I can do whatever. And then you sleep with someone else and you somehow piss them off.
In that explanation, you actually referenced two movie titles about having sex with your bud.
And you've got a Friends with Benefits deal with Crocodile Dundee, and
the thing about Friends with Benefits is that it seems like a smashing idea if you're a single person, but what's Friends with Benefits is more is a constant beautiful reminder of the power of biology over us. Mm-hmm. Like we think to ourselves, hey. I think that I'll do this Friends with Benefits thing. And biology is like, oh, yeah, good one. No one's ever thought of that before. Mm-hmm. I won't force you to have emotions about this. But of course you do. Of course you do. You, the human heart is not as much, much older and wiser than our rapidly crumbling morals.
Yes. And unfortunately, there are certain chemicals and things released in your brain during intimate moments that make you feel emotionally connected to the person.
Yeah, like horny dioxide. Things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. They get in there and they trigger the love center.
Boner juice.
Boner juice is just another one. Less scientific, of course, but no less real and actual.
Street slang.
Street slang that Griffin uses for brain chemicals. This is the thing, though. Like, you played the game of bones and you lost. Like, yes. This is what happens. You tried to come out on top, and no one ever does. You end the friendship.
Except for Dinklage.
What? Except Dinklage.
Except Pete Dink.
Pete Dink, number one.
I think the problem is with the Friends with Benefits move, that play, is like cheating. Because you're saying, like, I want to have the sex, but I don't want to put the time in the relationship. So basically, I think what you're really saying is, I want to do this thing and eventually fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. There's no way that... there's no good ending to that. The arc, if you look at the arc, it just doesn't... It doesn't pan out. The only good arc to keep, and maybe this is my Protestant upbringing rearing its head, is just to keep unrealized sexual tension forever.
Yeah.
Until you're so old that you don't feel that anymore.
Isn't that way sexier?
Isn't that sexier? Sort of a puritanical, button down, keep it under your apron type approach.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah. You hide it right under your bonnet.
Guys, how about another Yahoo?
Please.
Do it.
This one was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user CD Max Team Bring It, who asks, how pathetic are the rock haters? Rock haters are mostly Cena marks, but Cena fans have no idea how good The Rock was, how good The Rock can still be. Everybody knows The Rock is holding back, and to whoever thinks it's funny that The Rock made the Tooth Fairy movie, you're dumb, because he made more money off that movie than you will ever make in your entire life. Cena hasn't been owning The Rock. John Cena is nowhere near The Rock's level. And the only reason that it looks like he is because The Rock is holding back to make Cena look good. Cena's jokes aren't funny. Cena is terrible in general. Another argument Rock haters have is he sold out. No, he didn't sell out. The only thing The Rock sold out, the only thing The Rock sold out was arenas. And he is still selling out arenas. So what if he left WWE in 2004? It's his life. Why should we tell him how to live it? Bonus question. Agree, disagree. John Cena isn't funny.
Bonus question.
I don't... There wasn't really a question in there. Anywhere.
Yeah, what was the question? How pathetic are the Rock haters is the question.
Apparently very pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does he want? What does he want? What does he want me to say? Okay, The Rock is cool. He made more money than me. Like,
he's very rich.
He's very rich, and he's very... I guess he's bald now. He did.
It's a 2-part question.
Okay.
Part one: are the Rock haters, and how? What are your general feelings on John Cena?
Okay, John Cena.
Paint me a picture.
John Cena has muscles. Let's get that out of the way. I assume. Mm-hmm. And he was the Marine, I think.
He was in the Marine.
And he, when he gets angry or he's about to get beat, he rips off his yellow tank top, and the song "I'm a Real American" plays.
Oh,
and he goes, "Oh yeah, brother."
And he says he's a Cena maniac.
I'm a Cena maniac, brother.
I've got Cena phobia.
I've got Cena phobia, bro. Well, that's probably accurate.
The only thing I know about John Cena is that his, quote, wrestling costume is a t-shirt and jean shorts.
Yeah.
Like, he just could not be bothered.
That is actually the official wrestling costume of both the Stonewall Club and the New Polo Club in Huntington. So if you're ever around and you're going to do some wrestling there, make sure you get your cutoff jean shorts early, because most of the common sizes go quick.
John Cena's original wrestling name was actually Jorts Man. Or if you will, Jortsman.
He wore a mask.
Mm-hmm. And did I'm the Jortsman. And I'm here to stuff it.
Stuff what? Wrestling touchdowns?
His legs. His legs in the jort holes.
Check out these socks.
You like how long the socks are? Stuff it.
My jorts are comfortable and easy to wear. I'm web savvy. It's a meme.
Oh, man. Fuck, The Rock is awesome. Has anyone seen Fast Five in this podcast? Other than me?
No.
There's a scene where The Rock and Vin Diesel just wail on each other. They just go crazy.
Like, romantically?
There's strong romantic undertones, but it's mostly them just throwing each other through walls. And you know what? I watched that movie ironically, but I came out with the very unironic position that The Rock is actually pretty fucking awesome.
I mean, have you seen, is it Walking Tall?
I've seen both Walking Tall and The Rundown.
The Rundown rules.
Yeah.
The Rundown is a movie where the ending is actually telegraphed in the first 30 seconds of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because The Rock can't touch guns because bad things happen.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know how the movie ends now, then you should turn in your cinephile badge that I made you last week.
Wait, your cinephile badge?
Your cinephile badge. I don't go to the cinema. I go to the cinema. I only see movies starring John Cena.
Guys, I worked in a movie theater when The Marine came out, and the number of Dixie cups full of skull leavings would turn your stomach.
Quick quiz, hotshot. Is the Cineplex a move that John Cena does, or a place where you see a lot of John Cena movies? I don't know. It's wordplay.
Mm.
It's a double entendre. The Rock, I often forget that the Rock wrestler with hair is the same person as the bald Rock that is in movies.
The Balrog?
The Balrog of a man that is in movies. My brain just doesn't connect them as the same entity sometimes.
That's because he's Dwayne Johnson now.
Yeah.
Right. Dwayne Johnson, which I can understand, of course, why he changed that name. It's not particularly memorable unless you put The Rock in the middle of it.
His original wrestler name was actually The Dwayne. It was The Dwayne versus Jortsman. I would have
started watching wrestling to become a fan of The Dwayne.
I'm going
to
stomp you, Jortsman. I'm The Dwayne.
Make it Dwayne.
I'm going to make it Dwayne. Bring The Dwayne. I think he should have just gone for the aggro crag. That's what I would have called myself.
The radical rock.
Come break a piece off this radical rock. Oh, The Rock. Do people really get this up in arms about their wrestlers? Is this the way things are going?
It's crazy.
It's crazy on the streets, right?
I watched WrestleMania for the first time last year. And
did it live up to the name?
There were people in the audience who, when their guy lost, they would just commit seppuku right there. Just scream, holding up signs. John 3:14, whatever, seppuku! They would... I'm not kidding you. Like, it was a fervor that I haven't seen. Like, the Beatles have nothing on some of these guys.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I ever took away from wrestling, and I know this is too bad because we talked about Pokemon a little bit earlier, but to me, getting upset about it is like getting upset about Pikachu losing a fight. Because you know what's going to happen is he's going to get angry, mm-hmm. and he's going to get like his electricity back,
yeah,
and then he's going to come back strong, just like Hulk Hogan and Pikachu are basically the same story arc. Like, if you look at, like, Hulk Hogan gets pinned, he's beat, he's down for the count, then they lift his hand up, and he keeps it up the third time. You know, they drop his hand, and he keeps it up because he's got America power. Mm-hmm. And he comes back, and he just
does Rent-A-Center commercials.
Exactly, Travis, exactly what I meant. Pikachu, mm-hmm. exact same, gets kicked around, he gets those little... he gets those little pound signs on his face that mean mm-hmm. he's been beaten up. And then
he gets big sad anime tear that appears over
his head. And Ash is like, Pikachu, I don't care if you win or not. I still love you.
Yeah,
I still love you because we're friends forever. And then he falls into an erstwhile electric Pikachu socket. Just
murders everyone.
This comes back and shows. It's the exact same story. They're both yellow.
Yeah.
They both have ears.
Pikachu's original wrestler name was Thunderboy with an I.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Thunderboy Tellum,
mm-hmm.
but he shortened it.
He shortened it because to fit on T-shirts that he was selling. Hey, we can't sell T-shirts with Thunderboy written on them.
Because it's copyrighted.
Because it's copyrighted. So we have to rely on the Money Zone.
Guys, let's pull this ship into the dock of money.
Oh, money dock. We have been waiting on this culmination of this campaign. I'm going to take you back. 5 weeks ago, we got an email that we were going to be promoting a product called Stack Soap. And the crazy person in charge of this product, which is an infinite cycle of soap. It's a soap bar with a divot in it. So once you've used the first bar up, you can slide the remaining sliver in, and it makes a whole new bar, and that cycle continues in perpetuity. When we were told by our Maximum Fun overlords that we were going to be promoting this product, and they wanted to raise $9,000, there was a part of me, I gotta admit, that thought, hey,
thanks for the money, stupid.
Thanks for the money, dumbo. Sorry, we're really gonna give it the old college try. But sorry, there's no chance that this is going to pan out for you. And in just 5 short weeks, they've managed to make more goddamn money than we ever made off this show in the entire time we've been doing it. So good on them. Good on you, Stack Soap. You've grown too powerful and we have to destroy you. 17,000 goddamn dollars.
It's got to have reached a point. I mean, I don't want to stop you from going and giving more money because Eric's doing a great job and the soap thing is a brilliant idea and the Stack Soap is going to be huge. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, the 9,000 goes to the dye and then he could, you know, get some new fragrances and colors and stuff.
Yeah, he's going to sample a lot of fragrances, which is code for do a bunch of coke. that extra 8K is going straight up his nose.
Which, great, you know, maybe that's the kind of juice that he needs to come up with brilliant ideas like fucking Forever Soap.
Yeah, Forever Soap. Well, I wish we'd come up with that instead of wasting, what is it now, 94 hours just palling around? talking about Pokemon.
We could have been making soap.
We could have made some crazy soap thing. He didn't even make fucking soap. He made a video about how he wants to make soap. And we were like, here's
He made hypothetical soap.
He made fantasy soap, and we gave him $17,000.
He said, I have soap ideas. And we went, yeah. Here's some money.
A soap concept. I want to whiteboard this with you. Please give me so much money. And meanwhile, we're talking about wrestling and Pokemon, not spending a single moment thinking of new soapovations. And this guy's getting rich off it. But God bless him.
God bless you.
You guys are pretty fantastic people, and you have made Eric turn him into a mini mogul. I think, and he is going to. Use the pledges to start this line of soap, and it is not, well, depending on when you get this, it is not too late. You can still rush in for a last minute pledge. If you pledge $10 or more, you can get 6 bars of soaps shipped straight to you, or you can get 12 bars for $25, and you'll be
And I would say this, even if you listen to this episode like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you're behind and you've missed the deadline to donate, still check out Sac Soap, because I think it's going to be huge and I think people are really going to love it. And so go ahead and check it out and find out about it, because you're going to want to know about it in the future, I think.
Yeah, it's just sacsoap.com. And as requested, as promised, I should say, we have got a jingle that is over a month in the making.
Don't fucking talk about that.
And it's been something Griffin's been sort of working on in his spare time, in his off hours in the basement.
About five weeks of 35 minutes of work on it.
Yeah. Just hours of tinkering. He just wants, sometimes he'll say like, can I hear it? And he'll be like, no, it's not ready.
It sounds tinny. Bring up the speaker on the bass.
It's got hand claps. It's got bass. It's got kazoo noises. It's got layering. It's gonna be amazing. So here it is.
Put your soap in my soul, and we'll both get clean together. Put your soap in my soul. Got a divot for your pleasure. You gotta use Sac Soap. Don't you waste your soap away. You gotta use Sac Soap. Buy yourself some bars today. Don't let your skin get dry. Sac Soap, don't use no lie. Stack your soap into the sky. Buy yourself a little hope with Sac Soap.
Sac Soap! Get yourself free! Buy it at the Supermart! That's where you find it! Get it on Kickstarter! Gotta smell so fresh!
Soap.
Wow.
I know. I hope I win the Grammy this year for best soap song.
Griffin, I have heard some songs before.
Yeah.
But in comparison to that, they're just random collections of beeps and boops.
Yeah. Everything else just sounds like audio garbage.
I cried soapy tears.
Yeah.
I cried
soapy. It hurt really bad.
I cried soapy tears because this motherfucker just made 17 grand. Come up with a soapovation.
Also, done. Soapy Tears was my favorite 1950s comedian.
He's a toast of vaudeville, and now he's storming Broadway. Soapy Tears. Come learn his signature dance, the Scourge.
Do you remember that time when Soapy Tears, there's a big controversy because he told kids to go in their parents' wallet and email him and mail him their social security cards?
Email me your 1950s social security cards.
Fuck, shit.
Just feed it into your gramophone.
I'm more popular than Justin Bieber will be in 80 years. I'm Soapy Tears.
Soapy Tears is our nation's greatest prognosticator.
Now let's all do the Scorch. And it turns out that the Scorch was the Dougie. See, he saw it.
Let me teach you how to Scorch.
Fuck. Oh, guys, shit. We have a new brother and sister. Did you know this?
I don't love... I'm worried that Mom and Dad, Jesse and Teresa, aren't going to love us as much anymore.
They won't. But okay. Here's the good news. We have a new awesome, hilarious podcast on the MaximumFun.org network.
Can we... Can we
this is just as Soapy Tears predicted. He said...
I thought it was just the scribblings of a madman.
He said, one day, an actual woman and an actual homosexual will record a podcast together about their plight. And it will be called Throwing Shade, and it will edge out the love that Jesse and
it Teresa will cut
have.
Into the love of my brother and me.
they will be cast aside.
Not do the Scorch.
Travis, can you tell us a little bit more about this new program? Well, it's not a new program, but it's new. It's new to our family.
Throwing Shade. They take issues that affect the female and homosexual community and treat them with less respect than they deserve.
Is that your own?
No, that's their company line. I'm not judging in any way. I love it. It can be slightly more political than you might be used to, but in episode 18, which was their first Max Fun episode. Within the first, 10 minutes, Brian talks about shoehorning his soft penis into somebody's butt.
With a literal shoehorn?
With a literal shoehorn.
Oh, I've got to get down on this podcast. Yeah,
so I highly recommend it.
It's hosted by Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi, and it's very funny. Everybody needs to go listen to it and show it the same love that you showed us when we so recently joined the Maximum Fun Network.
I promise. I really think you guys will like it. So make sure you check it out.
Yeah, it's great. And just promise you won't love them as much.
Yeah, I promise you. Yeah, still love us.
But love them, but mainly us.
Yeah, love us more, I guess I would say. And them less, but still some.
But still some, but not much. Not as much as... Don't, throw us overboard like you did with the soap thing. Mm-hmm. When you decide you're just gonna run wild like Hulkamania on the soap concept, and leave your old buddies Justin and Griffin without
and Travis,
and I've never thought of you as much of a soap guy. I feel like Griffin and I could be in the soap biz. I'm not sure you could.
Man since before you were born, Justin.
If we get any bats,
I
in the
am
soap,
soap
factory. I'll have you come by and debat the place.
Thank you.
My British friend is in her first year of med school in the U.S. and has recently decided that she can't maintain a long-distance relationship with her longtime boyfriend in the UK. Problem is that he's already booked tickets to visit her over spring break, and he won't be able to get the money back. Oh! When is the right time for her to break up with him? Before, during, or after the visit? She's asking me for advice, and I'm at a loss what to tell her. Help! That's from Stumped in Cincinnati.
Well, you've indirectly come to the right place.
Man. There's so many issues here. First off, I can imagine. It was tough enough to maintain a relationship in med school when I lived in the same places as my now wife. I can't imagine trying to do that long distance.
Yeah, with a fucking continental divide between you? There's no way.
Yeah. Well, we're not telling her anything. She already doesn't know.
With all the plate shifting and the tectonics.
If he can't refund the ticket, you have to take, you should have known that this wouldn't have worked before you left. So this is your punishment for not ending it before then, is you have to try to keep it up.
Really?
No.
Yeah, you do.
That is patently bad advice.
I disagree. I think you got to go before so that they come and then they have the opportunity of they flying to America. They don't have to hang out with you if they don't want to. Mm. So, like, they still come or they say, like, fuck it, I don't want to go. Because otherwise, the other thing is if you do it during, that's bad. If you do it after, you've just spent, like, a week with this person super awkward and totally not into them at all.
Oh, God, you're right.
God damn it.
How much a ticket from the UK to the US is how many euros?
I think it's like depending on, you know, what anywhere from $600 to $1,000 I think to get round trip.
So like 20 euros.
So like 20 to 25 euros.
Right, exactly.
How I would pay $1,000 to not have to go through this.
I think that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. I would reimburse
them. Do you think
that
she should get the... Here's a question, Griff. Do you think she should get the checkbook out and maybe try to meet him halfway on this?
That's what I'm saying. It's worth to her $1,000 for her not to go through this.
Oh, okay. So she should say, like, hold on, let me cover that for you.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and get that tick and talk to you never.
Oh, man, that's brutal. Yeah, because if you tell him in advance enough, maybe he could sell it on Craigslist or something. Do they have Craigslist there? Of course they do. They have to. Sell it on Craigslist or something.
Lord's Craigslist.
The Craigslist of Dobbinshire. You guys are right. I was in the wrong at the beginning of this. You can't go through with this.
Here's the thing. What you're probably trying to solve, person asking this question, is the good way to do it. There is no good way to do it.
No, that's bad. The thing is, like, you could contort yourself into something that you think is the most decent, right? Like, it's probably the most decent to, depending on how long-term this relationship is, it's probably the most decent to, like, end it face-to-face, right? But at the same time, you could kill yourself to try to make that happen, but in the end, it's still going to be the dude got dumped. I mean, he's not going to think
back
on
this. Got dumped in a foreign country while he's stuck with you with, like, no other mode of transportation or place to hang out or anywhere to go. He can't be away from you.
Right.
Like,
and you are gonna tell him before he makes the trip.
You are going to permanently injure his opinion of America. If you do that, whenever he thinks of America, he's going to think of the heartbreak. And we don't need more bad press.
Heartbreak in the heartland.
Mm-hmm. I want people to think of hamburgers and John Cena.
And Cena burgers.
Like, if you tell him that he shouldn't come, then he really should. He shouldn't have any problem. I mean, like, isn't a ticket to America like the most valuable thing you can get?
Like, there are people in Mexico that would kill for a ticket to America. Right?
Like anything.
It's like a fucking Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Right. You come over here. We're gonna get you set up. We're gonna take you to the Cenaplex. And we're gonna
Cena burgers. I imagine Cena burgers come. It's two burgers that come in a pair of jorts, like a Happy Meal, but instead of a box,
the jorts are made of French fries.
Sure, if we want to go there, they would lose.
Yeah,
they would lose the gene quality.
They're dyed blue. They're made of blue corn.
Okay,
blue corn French fries.
I just want you guys to know that in my mind, as we've been talking about John Cena, I've been pronouncing it in my head as John Cena. And it makes me a lot happier.
Okay.
You can go there. Sure, you can go down that.
Yeah.
Go down that blind alley.
I feel like we've helped this person enough. Can we jump to a Yahoo?
Yeah. We helped him like a wicked lot.
This one was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Marcus, who asks, is it true that the Olive Garden is for poor people? My girlfriend said it was and didn't want us to go there last night. She's a rich girl and knows what fine food is, but we've never even been in there before. So how does she know it is such a low quality place?
This is a sticky subject.
Yeah, Justin, didn't you sign an NDA when you stopped working at the Olive Garden?
Yeah, as a former line chef at the Olive Garden, I think I might have to recuse myself from this question because I can't say anything negative about the OG. They weren't, you know, for an entire 3.5 weeks, like, that was my home.
Can I just say that as somebody who shared a house with you while you were an OG line cook, whenever you came home from that job, you kind of smelled like a poor person.
did. I got soaked in what they what was colloquially referred to as OG water, which was the... Never mind. I don't want to ruin the Olive
Garden. Tell me the OG water story today.
Well, at the end of the night, the floor was coated in like squished garlic and noodles that had fallen to the ground. So you would have to get on your hands and knees and hose off the floor.
And why did you have to get on your hands and knees to do it?
Well, to get underneath the breadstick oven. So you would spray the floor off, and you would get kind of soaked in OG water.
Oh, fuck.
And your whole clothes would sound like hobo, smell like hobo garlic. And listen, it was a nightmare.
I would say that if eating pounds and pounds of unlimited breadsticks and bottomless pasta pits is for poor people, I don't want to be rich.
Amen. I did that gross thing that I just described, and you put a plate of chicken scampi in front of me, you better believe I'm going to town.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
going to hurt that bad boy. Something
just going to carb up. Face the day.
Take a run.
But mathematically speaking, though, the Olive Garden offers you infinite food for like $3.25. So yes, I would say mathematically speaking, it is indeed ideal for poor people.
Right.
It's a pretty sweet scene for the poor folk.
It's for the people who are too uppity to eat the pasta at Golden Corral.
Right, exactly. And they think too much of themselves to get down on some... what do they have there? Like beef on a hook?
Yeah. They don't want to eat the hook beef.
No, you just gnaw on it with a bunch of people until you're done.
You're pulling up to the golden trough.
You cover Daryl, it. Make me a spot on the beef hook.
You cover it with a nondescript gray sauce. Yahoo Answers.
Put more gray sauce in the beef hook.
Yahoo Answers user Coconut Guy responded, Olive Garden are for all kinds of people. Everyone with all sorts of different incomes go there and dine to enjoy and just have a good time eating there. Hope that helps. Oh, it helps tremendously.
That's such a big help. They go there, they dine to enjoy. Come.
Nobody
you know who I bet eats at the Olive Garden? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I bet he's not too big. Not too
he's
proud.
A man of the... Well, he's too big to fit through the door. They have to, like, feed him outside, but he's a man of the people.
I got some of the people's pasta on the people's elbow.
I have
a napkin.
A few problems with this guy's response.
Okay.
The most glaring of which being that I don't think anyone has ever gone to the Olive Garden to, quote, have a good time eating there. I think they go there because they want to make a pasta mistake. They want to...
Or more likely, it's the only place you can get your grandparents to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only place they love, the Olive Garden, so you go there with them.
Hey, Pap Pap and Gam Gam, remember the old country? This is basically like that. Let's go get endless breadsticks.
Let's go eat pasta until we die. But don't worry, because they have wine you can drink to forget the pasta pain.
Any time that I've ever gone to Olive Garden that hasn't been prompted by family, it's always been... I've always done carry out. Like, I don't want anybody to know. I'll slip in there in my jorts and a mask and just get a big bag of pasta and leave.
The mental image.
Like, I still pay for it. It's not like a robbery. It's a pasta robbery.
When you said mask, I imagined like a feathered masquerade mask.
See, I pictured a luchadora mask.
I wish it was that dramatic. No, it's just, you know, like a regular inside-out William Shatner mask on Halloween. Something for the kids. Keep things lively. But I think that if you get to a point where you... I don't think any restaurant is like, oh, I'm not going to go there because it's only for poor people. Like I think that's kind of despicable. And if I try to make those barriers for myself living in Huntington, West Virginia, I would not be able to eat out a lot. Which, for the health spectrum... might not be the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the important thing is just to know sort of where that restaurant fits in the world. Like, sort of like, what is the level of, you know, what is the level of food here? What is the level of quality you're mm-hmm. opening yourself up to? And sort of like, where does that fit?
What's the Zagat's on
what's
Olive
the Zagat's on this place?
Did you Yelp it?
Did you Yelp this OG?
I would say this, just as a last piece of advice, I do not necessarily daily crave the Olive Garden, but if I was dating a girl who, when I brought up the Olive Garden, said, "That's for poor people," I would immediately dump her.
Mm-hmm. It is not a good relationship you're in, sir.
Not that restaurant, that's for the rabble.
That's for the commoners. I'd rather go to Denny's.
I only eat at the Spaghetti Factory.
Are there any restaurants, be honest, are there any restaurants that you guys won't go to because it's just too low quality?
Nope.
The food's for poor people.
You know me too well to ask that. The answer is nope.
I mean,
in fact, if they have large quantities of food for very cheap, like, man, I'll go to CC's Pizza. I ain't above it.
Just to take things a little serious for a second, but not too serious, because we'll come out the other end. The last time that we all went to Golden Corral was the first Christmas Eve after our mother passed away. We decided that's the time we've got to get in there and gnaw on the beef hook. That's gonna turn us around.
Well, the problem was is we were like, we'll go out to dinner for Christmas and didn't think of the fact that it's fucking Christmas and everybody in their right mind is closed.
Like, everybody's closed, so there's one place that's open. Motherfucking Golden Corral.
Well, don't worry, guys, because it was the closest restaurant to the cemetery we had just visited.
Oh, God, pretty good choice,
Golden Corral.
How much does this restaurant cost to eat at? Everything.
Do you want to know the saddest part? We weren't the only ones there.
Whatever.
That bitch was full of people.
It was full of people getting their holiday nosh on. None of them were quite as in good spirits as us.
Nobody made eye contact.
But you could tell the holiday magic was there because a boy would come up to the beef hook and a man would like scoot over a little bit.
Come on, Junior.
Come on.
Get on in here. Wash your hands.
I've already gotten through the pre-grizzle. Really tuck into the meat. All those boys over there, they just made a terrible life choice. they probably could have made spaghetti at home or something.
Just slosh your sauce and count your blessings.
And do the squirt.
Oh, man. I wonder if Soapy Tears saw that depressing shit we were going to do. Like, it was so depressing that he knew back in the 50s that we were going to do it. He predicted the existence of Olive Garden thanks to our depressing, terrible choices. That's the thing about being in a depressing situation, guys. And remember this. Most of the time, you could have avoided it. No matter what the depression... Like,
it's all your fault.
It's all your fault. You went to England, you know, you flew over from England, and your girlfriend depressed you, and you're walking around all sad, like that one scene in Ernest Goes to Camp where he's
crying in the window.
Yeah, like you could have avoided it if you just asked her, like, are you feeling like you maybe want to break up with us?
Just sign up before I purchase this very expensive, non-refundable ticket. Right. We're good, right?
Are we good? I feel like we're good. Well, that is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening again. This has been, what, 95 episodes, is it?
Mm-hmm. Fuck, we better figure something out.
Gotta do something big for our hundo episode. But seriously, no BS. Thank you guys so much for being with us. You're the most supportive, coolest, funniest community of people on the entire internet. And you make every day worthwhile. Thank you for supporting Stack Soap, even though I think you might have overdone it a little
bit. Thank
you
for creating the soap juggernaut.
This new force in soap. Something we don't talk about a lot, we got a Facebook group. If you go to Facebook, search for My Brother and Me, you'll see thousands of people talking about the show, swapping pictures, goofy observations, zingers. That's all going on there. So go join up to that group. And if you join, you have to be hand approved by me, Travis, or Griffin.
Yeah.
So you know that it's like.
So bask in it.
Bask in it. Meaningful and special.
Also, it's coming up. It's that time of year. Coming up is our MaximumFun.org fun drive. And once a year, we're going to put out some extra long episodes, give you a chance to help support all the Max Fun shows that you love. We're going to be giving away, extra content, some gifts and stuff if you donate. It's going to be a good time, so make sure you check it out. I think that starts the 26th, March 26th?
Yeah.
And then runs for 2 weeks, so make sure to get on board and help support the shows that you love.
If you don't want to wait for that, you can go to maxfunstore.com, and we got t-shirts there. Two different styles that you can buy. We got the blue, cool, sort of Hardy Boys, Vertigo-inspired My Brother, My Brother, Me t-shirt, and there's a Peepum's Nasty Gum shirt that you can get.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Just go get it. I know we're telling you to buy a lot of things this week, but it is imperative that you get that.
Also, if you have some soap that you would like to hawk, or any other soap-related ideas, then you too can have a Jumbotron on the show and have us talk about your product, or wish somebody like happy birthday or congratulations on something. Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and follow the steps there, and you can have a message on our show or any other Max Fun show.
Thank you to everybody tweeting about our show with the MBMBM hashtag, Wiki1978, Elysium, Wesker J, Abigail McCauley, Angie Warhol, Megan Keener, Deemer, Ross Butler, everybody. Joe Martini, of course, Sport Burke, Heron Bird, you're all the best, and we really appreciate you tweeting this stuff out. So, if you want to tweet about the show with the MBMM hashtag, maybe throw a link to our sampler in there. It's bit.ly/itsmabimbam. That's a great way to sort of spread the word about the show.
This final Yahoo answer was sent in by Keith Marnock. Thank you, Keith. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jamie, who asks, what does an owl look like and why?
That's McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part.